You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to do a different story than normal because I was checking the Drudge Report and there was an article that caught my eye. It was a column in the National Review Online, but it referred to a Brookings study. And I didn't have time to read the entire study. I need to say that up front because it's over 100 pages. I did read the executive summary of the results, as well as the National Review opinion piece, which was rather short. But it concerns limited English proficiency, L-E-P, L-E-P. And believe it or not, that is a word commonly used amongst bureaucrats, academics, and people interested in English, making English the official language of the country, as well as those that are opposed to it. Now, why is this important? And I was reading the summary, and something really popped out at me. Actually, several things did. One, there are nearly 20 million people in the workforce. In other words, these are people that are working in the United States that fall under the category of LEP, Limited English Proficiency. It doesn't mean they don't speak. They do speak another language. And as the report indicated, about two-thirds have proficiency in Spanish. That is their primary language. So it's not a question of not being able to speak another language. They clearly have that capability. It's just not English. But what's really stunning, besides the number, that's quite a large number of people. Now, we're not talking children here. We're talking people that can work, namely between ages of 16 and 64. And the labor force is roughly, in round numbers, about 150 to 155 million people. So it's about 10% of the workforce. That's a lot of people. It's nearly 1 out of 10 workers. It's not 10%. It's below that. But it's quite a number of people that are working. But here's some of the things that really struck me. They said a large percentage actually graduated from high school in the United States, a little over 80%. And I scratched my head. I said, well, when I went to high school, I did take a second language, namely French. I had a total of 3 years of French. The problem I had, I'm just not very proficient in talking it. I could write it at the time and read it, but I just simply was not very good in pronouncing various French words. And my parents didn't speak a word of French. See, I'm a strong believer if you want to learn a second language, you need to be totally immersed in the language to the point where you start thinking in that language. That's how you become proficient. I still think, write English. And I wish I was proficient in other languages. And at one time, I was proficient in several computer languages, but no longer. Because I really think that expands your horizons to be able to read, write, speak, and think in other languages, but not many people have that ability. Some do, some don't. It really depends, again, where you grow up, what the family situation is, what your economic situation is. I would have loved to be able, for example, to spend a year or two in France becoming proficient in French, but that was economically simply not in the cards. I went to a public school, like most of the people I knew. And we had in that school, you could take French, German, Spanish, I believe Russian, And there's probably other languages that I wasn't aware of. But then that was the most common languages taught were Spanish, French, and German. And in college, I tried to take German because initially I was going to be a science major, majoring in nuclear physicist, becoming a nuclear physicist. I decided not to do that. Now, I didn't know at the time, but most college freshmen, as well as people that are in sophomore, junior, change their major several times. I didn't know that, but I quickly said, this is not for me. And because I was taking German, largely because of the major I was in, I dropped French. I dropped German because I wasn't good in speaking German. And it just slipped my mind. I went to school abroad, and I had an excellent math teacher. His name was Lang. He was British, and he was very proficient in a number of languages, including Chinese, Latin, Greek, and Russian. And I took a semester of Russian. And again, I didn't do well in Russian. In other words, foreign languages are not my forte. And I say that because I really, truly believe that if you truly want to learn another language, go to the country and try to live there, where you don't have access to English at all, where you listen to the radio and the television or the movies and interact with people in whatever the language is spoken there. I think that is the best way. It's not the only way. It's just some people learn in different ways. And for me, I firmly believe that I could become proficient in other language if I was in a situation that I was forced to learn another language. Now, I remember taking a vacation, a rather long vacation, when I was in the military, a 6 weeks vacation, which is long. And the only reason why it was 6 weeks, I had accumulated leave that I had to take it. And I originally planned a trip that had to be canceled, and I had to reschedule it for the next year. So I had, instead of a 4 week vacation, I had a 6 week vacation. And it was primarily in Switzerland, but I also went to Austria, and we stopped in Italy, parts of Italy as well, but it was primarily in Switzerland. And they speak a dialect of German, Schwedisch. But Switzerland is multilingual, and some parts of Switzerland, French is the language. Other parts, for example, in the Geneva area, Zurich was German, and other parts are Italian, and there are other languages as well. But those are the three principal ones. And most of the people in Switzerland are bilingual, and they speak English, German, French, and some other languages. But it is a question of that's the environment. Because I went to a number of stores. I was doing a little shopping, especially towards the end of the vacation. Wanted to bring some gifts. And what struck me was many of the people that I talked to spoke English. It doesn't mean they were totally fluent in it, but they could understand what I was asking, and conversely, I could understand them. But that was, I think, because I asked, we had I had two tour guides, and one of the ladies spoke several languages. And she just said, well, part of when I was going to school, and I forget which language. She spoke, obviously, English, but I think it was German. German and English were her strong suits. But she also, I believe, it's been a long time, was fairly proficient in French as well, because she was a tour guide, and why most of the people on the tour spoke English. She was a tour guide for also other tours, and sometimes they spoke German, sometimes they spoke French. Sometimes you had a group, in our group, we had a couple of people from Holland that spoke Dutch. And my original ancestors came from Holland. Now, why am I getting into this? I very much strongly support on the national level, and I need to emphasize this, that the official language of the United States of America should be English. Because over 80% of the American people speak English. Now, note, I didn't say that's their primary language, because we are very much a nation of immigrants that come from many countries, dozens of countries. And if you're a first-generation immigrant, your native tongue is the one you're most proficient in, whether it's Italian, German, Spanish, French, Vietnamese, Japanese, Chinese. You're going to be proficient in that language because usually that's where you, when you went to school, that was the language that the education was provided in. But you, when you make the choice to immigrate to a country, you're making the choice of having to learn another language, assuming that, for example, if I wanted to move to Switzerland, immigrate to Switzerland, I knew I would probably have to learn German and probably French. Conversely, if I was going to go and move to Holland, the Netherlands, I would need to learn Dutch. So that is a factor anyone considering, for example, living and working in another country. Language is definitely a factor because usually your employer is going to insist that you be able to communicate with your other workers. And if you're not in a country that speaks English, such as Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, you're going to have to learn another language. And by living there and working there, your proficiency should increase, especially the longer you're there. I remember when I was in the service, I was trying to get an assignment to Europe, and I had an ulterior motive. I wanted to learn another language. I simply could. We in the military, you fill out a form. It's generally considered a wish list where I'd like to be assigned. It's to enable the personnel to see if they can accommodate that. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. And now we had Air Force bases in Germany. So I was trying to get assigned to Germany, but simply could not swing it. If I had stayed in the Air Force, I spent 5 years in Dayton, Ohio at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And if I had stayed in the military, I would have been reassigned to Washington, D.C. And I had a good assignment. What's interesting was on the cruise missile program that were fired yesterday. This is when the cruise missile program was an idea and was getting off the ground, but I decided to terminate my Air Force career after 5 years and pursue another career in the private sector. But I really wanted to learn another language. A lot of Americans don't, but I saw the advantages of learning it, and I convinced myself that the only way I was going to learn it is to live in the country where you're forced to converse in that language. Now, the problem you get into around the world, and this is more so than when I was growing up, English has become the international language. It wasn't always the case. At one time, French was the language, the diplomatic language. Some would say it still is. But English has become the language that if you want to, for example, be employed by a multinational corporation, you're going to have to learn English. But you'll be encouraged to learn another language and ideally more than one language. But today, anyone trying to get ahead needs to be very proficient in English, and it's not an easy language to learn. I don't think it's as difficult as either Russian or Chinese or Japanese, but it is difficult to learn because that's what I'm hearing from people that English is their second language. And I have many friends that's the case. Now, I'm getting into this for a reason. The president is threatening to sign some legislation that's going to give amnesty to illegal aliens. I hope he doesn't do it, because if he does, I think he's opening himself up for impeachment, because I think there's going to be a backlash. And why do I say that? It's not that the American people are anti-immigrant. Far from it. Most Americans, including me, are all in favor of legal immigration. That is the pathway to citizenship in the United States. It's called legal immigration. You fill out the paperwork. You wait in line, usually for years. You have to take tests to test your knowledge of the United States government, and they're given in English. So you need to become proficient at some level to become a U.S. citizen. Now, it might surprise some of you, there is no official language in the United States on the national level. I think there should be. I think there should be a constitutional amendment, or as a minimum, a law making English the official language of the United States, and all federal documents and communication will be in English and no other language. That will force people to learn English. Now, does it mean everyone is going to speak English? No, it doesn't. There are people that have like I had, some problems speaking another language. They might be able to read or write English, but they really are not good at speaking it. And some people never learn, especially if they come to a country, immigrate to a country when they're much older. They don't make the effort. And it is an effort, because you're not really going to be proficient in a foreign language, and this is the test I always use, until you think in that language. I think in English. I don't think in any other language. See, some people speak some English, but they're thinking in Spanish and have to translate it. And that limits your proficiency on several levels. So on the national level, I'm all in favor of English being the national language and the only language. And all documents, including when you go to vote, will be in English. And if you want to be a U.S. citizen, yes, you're going to have to take the test in English and really understand how our systems work. That's called assimilation. I'm all for assimilation. The problem we have is people aren't assimilating. Because that's why I was stunned to see over 80% of the people that are classified as limited English proficient graduated from high school, and about 15% graduated from college. I was scratching my head, like, how do they do it? I think some of that was social promotion, in the sense that they just passed you along. You're not really doing that person a favor, though. Because if you graduate from high school, you should be able to read, write, and speak at a 12th grade level. And if you're limited English proficient, you're not at the 12th grade level. You're not even at the 8th grade level. You just have a very limited vocabulary and capability of expressing yourself in English. Now, obviously, you get a job, but you're limiting your earnings. You're limiting your opportunities by not learning English. Now, I spend a fair amount of time in the multimedia lab. It's a computer lab where they have all the applications that you need to do multimedia, such as animation, websites, graphics, using Photoshop. But every day I pass a group of classrooms in which you usually have between 20 to 30 students of various nationalities trying to learn English. And those courses, for the most part, are taught almost entirely in English. Now, there's some instructors that also speak Spanish, but most do not. And I will say about half the students in there, their primary language is Spanish, but not all of them. I would say the other half, Spanish is not their primary language. And you have men and women both during the day and during the evening, on the weekends, trying to learn English. And that's probably fairly common across the United States. At community colleges, you have courses in English. But and that's commendable. I wish them success. Whatever their reason to learn English, it's probably because they want to get a job. They want to be able to communicate. They want to interact with people, because most Americans, their primary language is English. My ancestors came from Holland and settled in New York, and at one time New York, it was called New Amsterdam then, was ruled by the Dutch. But the superpower at the time was Great Britain, and they took on the Dutch in New York. Now, they didn't try to get rid of the Dutch, but they changed the language to English. Now, at the time, there were many languages spoken in New Amsterdam. And I won't get into the history of the decline and fall of the Dutch Empire, or for that matter, the English Empire. But it's really a political question. Because if the Dutch were successful in fending off the English and took over the rest of the colonies, today most Americans would be speaking Dutch. Well, that didn't happen. They're speaking English. And the point I'm trying to make is people come to the United States from dozens of countries speaking dozens of different languages. It is not practical, nor is it efficient or very effective, to have many languages. You need one common language to unify the people. So communication can take place. I need to wrap up the show. We've had a scheduling change, and this usually I'm from 4 to 5, but today I started a little late to adjust to the schedule. I wasn't sure it was coming. Apparently he is here. We'll see if he comes the next week. We have students that start a show and within 1 or 2 weeks drop out. So I need to wrap it up. But the point I'm trying to make is we need to make English the official language nationally. And for most states, English is the official language, but not in Texas. And I notice which states where English is not the official language. It is primarily, interesting enough, Democratic states, with the exception of Texas, where you have a lot of illegal immigration. And that's the connection I want to make. I've lived in Texas over 35 years. When I first came here, there was none of this press one for English, press two for Spanish. There was none of this nonsense. Now, almost everywhere, if you use the phone, you're going to get that speech. This needs to stop. It's up to the people of each state to decide what language they want to make official, and I think it's past time that we make English the official language, because you need something that's going to motivate people to learn the language that is used by the majority of people. It's really in their interest to get a better job, get better pay, and I'm assuming they're here legally. If they're here illegally, as the poster says, get out. Learn English or get out. And I forgot to mention this. If you want to see some of the videos related to my notes for this show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to my shows, the most recent, the very bottom, my entire portfolio. And in between, you'll have videos, notes, pictures, graphs, whatever, related to what I've been talking about. So today was a short show. We'll see whether or not we'll get back to my 4 o'clock slot in the coming weeks. Now, a very appropriate ending. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.